Well, I'm back. I want to first, before I even start, I want to thank Reverend Young, Reverend Beasley, and Reverend Watson for allowing me to take some time and to relax and catch up on some reading and stuff. I appreciate the fact that they stepped in and brought the word, and I mean they brought the word. If you were online, then you know that each of them brought it in their own manner and in their own way. So I just want to thank them for the opportunity that I got to rest. But I'm back, and God has given me a message today on this Communion Sunday. It's, you know, when everything that we think of as being the norm in our lives is being turned upside down, when people are doing the very opposite of what the Father commands, because he commanded us to love one another, not hate one another. He said, your two commandments, one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and then the second, it says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And yet, we see in the news, we see in front of us, because you don't even have to look at the news to see how people are treating one another in this time. You know, when everyone and everything we love and everything that we value in life can be lost in a heartbeat, and I'm talking about those that are losing the things in the fires, those that are because of the economy, are being evicted from their homes, they're losing everything. But those are material things. The things that we need to really think about is when we lose loved ones, when we lose friends, when our marriages fall apart, when our careers go down the tube, when our health needs a little help from God, and even when we lose our lives, the one thing that stands true is, of all these things, the one thing we cannot lose is our salvation. You know, we lose everything, but we can't lose God's forgiveness. And the one thing for sure we cannot lose is God's love, his love for us. The amazing thing is that he loved us before we loved him. He didn't wait for us to go buy a brand new suit or that nice pretty dress that you may have on and comb our hair and brush our teeth. He took us as we were in at the dirt and mire and muck and he just loved us. I want you to listen to these words of a song that's so dear to our heart. The words are, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm fine. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. Our culture loves the hymn, Amazing Grace, even though it refers to us as wretched. Because of God's grace, it gives us hope in tomorrow. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you, we honor you, we praise you. We thank that you've brought us together once again, Heavenly Father, that we may worship you and hear a word from you, Lord God. We ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord God, to just open our hearts and minds, Lord God, to receive what you have for us today, Lord God. May the words not come from me, Lord God, but come from you, and each of us hear what you have for us today. Lord, we praise you and honor you and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our title for today is Lost and Found. T. taken from John, the 10th chapter, verses 11 through 30, with our focal verses being verse 25 and 26. And let me read them to you. Starting at verse 25, it says, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said, wow, you are not of my sheep. Words that no believer wants to hear. The question is, today, is can I be lost and then found and then lost again? Can I be blind, then see, then be blind again? Many genuine and loving believers in Christ say yes. But what does Jesus say? We begin with the religious leaders wanting Jesus to speak plainly. And here, he spoke very plainly, more than they probably wanted to hear. You ever ask somebody to break it down for you so that you can understand it, and then you hear something that you really didn't want to hear? Well, that's what the religious leaders of the time did. And Jesus had previously told them that in several places in John, John 5, John 8, John 10:5, John 10:8, in verse 10 of chapter 10, in chapter 10 verses 12 through 13, Jesus told them point blank that they were not true sheep, because his sheep believed and heard his voice. They were not unworthy. They were not only unworthy shepherds of God's people, but they were showing that they ought no longer be classified among the sheep that paid attention to his voice. Charles Spurgeon says, your unbelief is just an evidence that you were not chosen, that you have not been called by the Spirit of God, and that you are still in your sin. Not a good place to be. We find in John 10 that Jesus teaches powerful and unequivocally that God loves his people today and forever. And then folks have to say, well, why? What's in it for him? Well, there are three reasons God's love is forever. The first is that the death of Jesus was not in vain. Jesus did not die for nothing. His death accomplished atonement. His death accomplished reconciliation. His death accomplished redemption. And most of all, his death accomplished salvation. If you believe that genuine Christians can lose their salvation, then you believe it's possible that no one will be saved, that all will be lost, and Jesus died in vain for nothing. I'm here to tell you today that he didn't. But the Bible declares that Jesus' death was not in vain. It was effective in bringing salvation to his sheep. You find that in John 6, verse 35 through 40, and verse 51. I'm just giving you the references so that you can look it up for yourself. I don't ever want you to just take my word for something. go to the source, which is what I've been telling you for years. Don't forget what we learned in high school. Don't forget what we learned along life. Check the source. And the source in this case is God's word. Salvation is real. Spending eternity in heaven with God is real. Let me get off the soapbox for a minute. According to John chapter 10, the verse of the death of Jesus was, one, his death was faithful. His death was selfless. His death was inclusive. His death was voluntary. And that is a key point. His death was voluntary. He voluntarily gave up his life that we may be saved. And finally, his death continues to cause controversy among men. You see, his death was not in vain. But Jesus declared that his death was not in vain himself. In verses 25 through 30, he says this. He says, I say this reverently. Jesus did not die praying, Father, I hope this works. No, he declared, it is finished. Mission accomplished. You don't believe me? Go look at John 19, verse 30. Our second point for today. Is the promise of Jesus is not in doubt. You see, if we look at verse 28, part B, it says, and I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. Take a minute and look at the words, they shall never perish. This is a very strong promise made to all believers Listen, in the biblical Greek, the strongest negative is called emphatic. It's called emphatic negative, which is used here. What Jesus means is that we as believers shall by no means, under any circumstances, ever perish. Yes, this body as we know it may wither away, but our soul will never perish. We will get a new body and spend eternity with Christ. If you believe that as a genuine Christian, you can lose salvation in Paris, then you believe that Jesus makes promises he cannot keep. But his promise is no doubt. There's no doubt in that. His promise says we shall never perish. Never perish. You got to believe me. Just read the following scriptures in your Bible if you have any doubt in your mind. And I've lost my place on the slide, so bear with me one moment. There we go. In Romans 8 and 1, if you want to write these down. Romans 8 and 1. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Philippians 1, 6. Hebrews 10, 1 through 10, Hebrews 10, 17 and 18, and 1 John 5 and 13. They all speak of a promise of God that we will spend eternity with Him if we truly believe. My third point for today is that the power of Jesus is not in question. If we continue to look at verse 28, looking at the ending of the verse and reading all the way to verse 30, it says, Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And I, my Father, are one. Focus for a minute on that last statement in the verse, in verse 28. It says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You know, let me stop and draw you a picture of this statement. I have a friend named Barry. He's 6 foot tall, 6 foot 10 inches tall. Don't want to shorten him any. Can you imagine meeting him in a dark alley and trying to snatch something out of his humongous hands? It's not going to happen. This is what Jesus is saying about his believers. In John 6:37, we read, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast away. Here we see the Father has given the believer to the Son. And we are the gift of the Father to the Son. We are a gift. You know, if you look at the book of Revelations, chapter 5, verse 9, it reads this. It says, and they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. You were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. In short, what it's saying is, the Son has purchased the believers for the Father. We are the gift of the Son to the Father. This is referred to as two-fisted salvation. Let me explain. Salvation is not just a gift that God gives to us. You know, and that's wonderful enough. But we are a gift exchange between the Father and the Son. Salvation is not something that belongs to us, but more importantly, we belong to Christ. Now, some of you may be asking, well, if we're a gift, when will the Father take back the gift that he gave to the Son? When will the Son take back the gift he gave to the Father? The answer is simple, never. God is not an Indian giver. Jesus, our Christ, our Lord, our Savior, is not an Indian giver. You see, if you believe that genuine Christians can lose their salvation, then you believe that God's power is limited. But God's power has no limit. There's no question of God's power. You see, you keep hearing me say a genuine Christian. Because there are many people out there who say, I'm a Christian. But their walk doesn't match their talk. Jesus says, you'll know my sheep by the fruit they bear. We can't walk as the world and still claim to be Christians. Romans 8, 28 and 30 says this. It says, "And I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." I just want to close today as I assure you that Jesus Christ did not die on that old rugged cross, then rise again on the third day that the whole world might be saved. And I emphasize on might, only for it to be lost again. You see, Jesus died on the cross so that the whole world would be saved and stay saved forever. There is no maybe. There is no I hope so. There is no might be in the death of Jesus. There is only yes. There is only I know so. And there is only and it shall be. The word of the Lord promises us that. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, thanking you and praising you, Lord, for all that you have done for us, Lord God. We thank you for the reminder, Lord God, that you love us so much that you gave your Son that as a true sacrifice, that he voluntarily went to that cross that I and so many like me can be saved, that we can be sanctified, that we, Heavenly Father, can spend eternity with you. So, Lord, we honor you, we praise you. Once again, we say thank you, although thank you is not enough. Lord, have your way in us, have your way through us. Continue to shape us and mold us as the potter molds the clay as we surrender to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.